Blog Talk Radio.
Crazy people just thinking they can do what they want to do with the freaking chat room, so therefore, don't want to deal with it. I just want to sit here and focus on the callers and that kind of stuff and the idea of what we're trying to do here and the idea of giving people insights and information and stuff like that. We could put it simply like saying, giving them information, direction, and peace of mind. So therefore, it's the idea of the one thing I like to focus on, the idea of teaching people. The one thing about people have this thing about psychic abilities and psychics and that kind of stuff like that too. But if we actually take the situation and put it in a little different context and say, you know something? If you really would hone up on your own psychic abilities, yes, I say your psychic abilities, you'd be able to understand one thing, that intuition, your gut feeling, all those things are there to enable and they help you to make better decisions. So you can actually see the insides of everything, how people present themselves to you. And also, like clairvoyancy, can actually help you see past the mask, to see people for who they are. Everybody, we sit and talk about the ideal, we can prove that you're everybody's psychic. If you're a person who actually gets butterflies in their stomach, you're psychic, because that's actually called clairsentient ability, and which means it's a gut feeling. So it's called clear feeling. Clairvoyant means clear seeing, and clairaudient means clear hearing. There's other things too. Some people have a tendency to smell, sense things like that, you know. And that's a good thing. Just when I was about ready to bring Heather on, she disappeared. That's crazy. Let's see. I hope she comes back in the situation. So let's get the information out so everybody can actually call in. If you want to call in and get a reading tonight, please do so. Yes, call in. Get the information you've been looking for. Get the answers to your questions. Get the answers to a situation, what direction you should go into. Just give us a call at 646-721-9031. That number again is 646-721-9031. We also have some people to sit here and focus on the idea. I'm trying to figure how to say this. It's spelled T-O-S-C-A-N. I want to sit there and say, yes, C-O-N, Interiors. And that's a shop downtown at 715 Manitou Avenue. It's a great shop. They have a lot of stuff in there, vintage stuff. Refurbished furniture. They have pictures, paintings. It's a really cool place to shop. I think you should check it out when you come into Manitou Springs. So if you're actually coming to visit us in Manitou Springs and you ideally get a reading, please do not hesitate. Okay? Don't wait. Don't hesitate. You should go and see this place. It's really cool. The lady in there, her name is Candace. I'm trying to pronounce this last name. I think it's Tocan. I'm not a really good person to actually pronounce this thing. Like again before, the name of the shop is, actually, this is actually a website too. It's spelled T-O-S-C-A-N-O, interiors.com. I want to sit there and say, Weebly.com. And go check out this website and the furniture and that kind of stuff, but really get the full effect of this shop. You have to go visit the shop itself, and this place has really got a great atmosphere and everything else that goes along with it. And the ideal of also Candace herself, who has a great personality, and the ideal that the whole store together works as a whole, where you can actually see that these are actually bits and pieces of what she's actually put in this shop to actually make it what she's made it, which is very homely atmosphere. So therefore, it's a great place to go visit. So go check it out. It's at 715 Manitou Avenue. Let's see here. If you want to come visit us, we're actually at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue. If you want to give me a call for a private reading, please do so. Or we're going to give a call just to make an appointment before you show up at the shop. But if you're going to come to Manitou Springs, you should definitely visit these places. And also, if you want to find her shop, it's actually right across from the Jerusalem Cafe. Right next to, I think it's called Manitou Realty, I think. But I know it's right next to a realtor place, so you can't go wrong with the situation. But if you want to come visit us, we're actually right across from Mushroom Mondays, right next to the Flying Eagle, actually right between the, I'm trying to say it, Santa Fe Springs, I think it is, store in the Flying Eagle. We have a sign right above the door that says Psychic X Journey Man. You can't miss it. In the ideal, we call it the Mystic Closet Psychic Shop, so come check us out. If you want to give us a call, please do so. Make an appointment. Or if you want to give a call, we also do private readings on the phone, too, as well. As long as you've got PayPal, we can talk to you and be your pal anywhere you go. So therefore, if you're at the airport, you've got some time to kill and that kind of stuff, you can give us a call and give you a reading while you're sitting there waiting. So therefore, you don't feel like your time's wasted. Getting answers is never a waste of time. So give us a call at 740-500-8863. The number, again, is 740-500-8863. or give us a, you know, contact us through our website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com and check out what we actually do. And for July, we have a special going on where you name the price on any service you'd like to do. Yes, that's right. You name your price on what you want to pay. Call us up, tell us, PayPal it, done deal. So give us a call. This would be a great month, the ideal. Whatever your budget is, doesn't matter. You can sit here and get your reading, a session. We also do live coaching, relationship counseling, relationship readings, past life, those kind of things. So give us a call at 740-500-8863. And tonight, if you get a right reading here with us and the ideal get some answers to your questions, just give us a 646-721-9031. All right, Heather's here. So let's all say hello, Heather. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hello.
So what's up?
I get so excited to talk on the phone.
Huh?
I said I always get so excited to be on here. Anyway.
Don't get too excited.
Hello.
We need you to talk.
What?
Okay, so how are things going? Where are you at?
I am actually in a pile of rocks down in Soda Springs Park. Shortly behind your shop. So you know where the bathrooms are, the public bathrooms, and then you go just a little ways towards the stage, and there's some rocks, great big rocks. That's very nice. It's quite a lovely night. The full moon is, you know, no longer the full moon, and I am hoping that all the fighting that has been going on lately is done. So.
Be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be way nice. Because there's been
fighting really
everywhere.
The situations we should, it's one of those situations where we could actually really get some lowdown on the whole thing, because I've heard so many stories lately from different people and that kind of stuff. And actually, we were starting to talk about this earlier, too, about a certain woman who works in the, what is that called right there, that fence area of the trees and stuff. I don't know. A square or something, like down in the square? What would you call it?
I don't know. Where are you talking about?
Well, it's right there by the Flying Eagles t-shirt shop where they got the birds, the partridges and that kind of thing.
I don't know. I don't know what that's called. Just a little courtyard.
Yeah, but people have always asked me, says, what's that called down there where all those people hang out? I said, it's just a place where all people all hang out. That's all I know about it.
I would say a courtyard. A courtyard for sure.
Okay, no problem. Anyway, rumors are rumors and that kind of stuff, and I think I actually found out the source of that. So therefore, I guess I'm also justified by the idea of the next action I got to take, because it was interesting what I heard today. It's amazing when you sit here and put things out there and the idea of what you can manifest, right? I'm sitting here going, I'm looking for a source, something just come to me and give me confirmation on something, and it actually came right to my door and said, hey, I guess I'm going to tell you. So that was interesting.
Awesome. However.
Yes.
Don't share it, okay?
That's what I'm saying. I'm being very discreet about
the whole
thing.
It's one of those things you don't say to anybody about anything. And anyways, yes.
The reason I was actually bringing this story up is because we always talk about the ideal manifestation and that kind of stuff. And plus, I was actually trying to get somebody to give me some insights on this thing, because Candace is the one who owns that store that I got my table at. And I told her, I'm doing a favor for you, and I actually have one of the chairs out front that actually has a cool design on it. And I said, when people ask me where I got it from, I can point them to your store. Maybe I can actually get some traffic going down there towards you, too, as well. But it's spelled TOSCANO.
Toscano? Is that how you say
Tocano.
It?
Toscano. Okay. Interiors. Yeah, because it looks like it says, if I'm not mistaken, it was Toscano's Interiors.weebly.com. But her store is at 715 Manitou Avenue, and her name is Candace. And she has furniture, she has paintings, and all kinds of good stuff. So if you want to check it out, you should. I actually found, that's why I was talking about before, I found the like it's like a kind of a hutch I'm going to put in the front room. And they're very, it's like, I like the prices there because the furniture, this is a big, humongous thing. So I was thinking I was going to pay a lot of money for it, but it's only like $189 for that.
Well, being in management, I'm surprised that it's reasonably priced. That's good, though. I said being in management, it's surprising that she's reasonably priced, which is a good thing because we do need that here.
Yeah, because that's what I told her, because she was sitting talking to me about the idea of where she was thinking about not being there, because I was sitting there talking about that. I said I was actually looking at that space before she got it. And she goes, well, if you play your cards right, you might still get it. I said, no, you belong here. And she goes, really? You think so, huh? I said, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do? I'm the local psychic, so yeah, I think I know. Anyway.
Yes, I do have intuition here.
Yeah, so it's like, look at the situation and saying, it's just one of those things. That's why I brought up the ideal of the situation. I was saying that I'm not going to mention any names or anything like that. I'm just saying the ideal, people have a tendency to ask me the questions, what can you manifest? You can manifest anything, information.
I'm sorry, something just came to me again. Guess what?
Ding.
Yes, it was
okay.
One of those.
What?
I tried to control myself so I didn't freak out over this. Anyways, Wayne Dyer is actually sitting down with Esther on stage in California November 13th at 7 p.m. in Anaheim. I want to go.
Okay. I'm going too, so I can stuff you in my bag. Anyway.
You are? For the one in California?
Well, it's in November. In the
okay.
ideal situations where we think we should be somewhere, I think we should actually open up the door and let it all
well,
fall
I
into place.
I took plane tickets, and from plane tickets from Denver are to LAX are $160, somewhere around in there, for November.
Now, is that one-way or two-way?
That's round trip.
Really?
Yes.
Book it.
I know.
$162?
Yes.
Yes, we should definitely go.
I know.
I mean, if you're,
not only to see Wayne Dyer, are you kidding me? But then Esther, and they're going to, you know, Abraham. Oh my gosh, I'm
yeah,
so
I was
excited.
Also,
I can't wait.
I know, but I was also thinking about the implications of what we could do with the situation of being in the backgrounds and basically allowing our listeners to actually listen to the show at the same time we're listening to it too as well.
Oh, I don't know if we should do that. That's naughty.
No, what I'm saying is it's just the ideal of the situation where we can sit there. I'm on the phone talking to my friends. Anyway,
you know what?
I have lots of friends.
Oh, you're
okay.
So silly. Anyways, no, I do fully plan on going to that. Tickets are $149 before, by September 9th. And then after that, they're $199.
Oh, you mean the tickets to go to this event?
Yeah.
And then after September, they go up to $199.
Yes.
Yeah, so my friend was still,
he's
coming. So it gives you a whole month to come up with the freaking plane tickets. Well, if you can't come up with that kind of money in that kind of time, there's something wrong with the situation that you're just blocking something. Because,
Well, again, manifesting is all about, like I always say, having an eye single to the glory of God. Okay, if what is it that you want? What do you want? Are you focused on that completely, 100%? Are you ready to make it happen? Are you really driven to make that happen?
Yeah, I was freaking out today, although sitting there focusing on it, I just kind of nonchalantly said, like in a little bit of a demanding way, I wanted somebody to stop by the shop and actually talk to me. And I was sitting there reading something. I was into, I can't remember, I was actually preoccupied. And as I sit there, I usually have a person, you probably know what I'm talking about, zips by me like she's in a jet plane. And today she actually sit down and, well, she didn't sit, but that's, I always look at things as a progression. First you get the one thing, then it kind of progresses to the further, you know. I guess you would sit there and say, that's how relationships are. They start off at a certain key, and they progress in the process of closeness, openness, communication. You talk about things that you normally wouldn't talk about, and then you start getting to that point where you get really comfortable with each other. I was sitting here talking about the idea when we talked about before about connections and bonds. And connections and bonds are one of the things that we shouldn't be worried about because they're a certainty. And it's also give you one thing too when you're connected to somebody, is to tell people flat out, don't ask me if somebody likes you or if someone loves you or someone's in a relationship, that you should know these things because of the bond and connection you have, which will give you all the answers you ever needed instead of asking somebody else. And I was sitting there talking to the analogy we used is the idea of a person's butt sitting on a chair, that they don't sit there and ask their butt every 5 minutes if they're still connected. They have trust in the connection, the bond. They also have this really strong trust with the chair they're sitting in. They don't even think about it. It's a nonchalant kind of thing. And I was thinking, if somebody could actually do that in a relationship and just take it for what it is, just, you know, just accept it, I think that would just improve relationships so much that you would not believe. And it's kind of funny, who's going to take the first step to do that, to actually see that kind of chain reaction? Because just think about it. Some dumbass out there combed his hair like Tweety Bird, and next thing you know, it's a fad. Now everybody wants to comb their hair like that. And he was just having a bad hair day, and people go, ooh, that looks cool. And he's like, really? Boom, next thing you know, I've seen these little kids walking by going, hey, look, it's Tweety Bird week. And I was just and some of these kids, some of these kids don't even know who Tweety Bird is, you know that?
Really?
Yeah.
That's
kind of
sad.
Well, it's small. I'm talking about... What?
I said that's sad. I love Tweety. Anyways, honestly...
I'm talking about kids who are like 3 or 4, you know?
Well, all that...
Yes?
When someone wears something or does something and it catches on as a fad,
mm-hmm.
it's basically they exude confidence. And that's what people are attracted to, is that confidence. They see the
mm-hmm.
confidence and they want it. So they do what that person is doing. It's just like in the movie Happiness. Whatever, Will Smith went up to the guy in the Ferrari and was like, what are you doing? I want to do what you do. I want a car like that. What do you do? Let me emulate you.
Oh, yeah.
You.
Yes, and he did what he followed through. Like most people have a tendency, the first time Will Smith something didn't go his way or someone stole one of those machines, they probably would have gave up right then and there. I like the movie because it's the idea of what he does. You know, he still keeps going through, and he's like sleeping in the hallway. It's like he can get this vision in his head that once he goes through all this stuff, there's something on the other side of the whole thing. And even to the point, I liked how he was so nonchalant about certain things too when he went in there for that interview. Well, he was almost like saying, you know, pretty much you're not going to give me this job and that kind of stuff and all these things going on, and I understand. I'm sorry for all the stuff that happened and all the infractions and that kind of stuff. And for some reason, somebody saw something in him and just trusted that.
Well, it was his
and,
desire, his drive, his willing to do whatever it took to make it happen, to follow his dream. He pursued his dream. No matter
mm-hmm.
what, no matter what it took, he got 100 no's just for one yes. And that's what it
mm-hmm.
takes. You have to do that.
Yeah, but you also get, if you watch the character too, the character doesn't lie. He just keeps striving, keeps going forward.
Right.
So when he sits and
right.
puts it out there, like you said before, someone says no, he goes, okay, thank you. And he's off to the next one. He doesn't think, he doesn't use that one no to say, well, I guess I'm not supposed to do this. Because I always sit here and say one thing, from what I do, that I've actually had I've had days like that where you're like, I'm sure maybe I should rethink this whole thing, right? And then somebody will walk in or I'll have a customer I've already worked with, a client I've already worked with, come back and tell me why they came back, and the idea of giving me like a shot in the arm to go, okay, shoot you back up. It's like, well, it's kind of crazy that way too, because there's something within yourself. You know, if you're looking for some kind of answer or someone to come in there like that, and it's kind of funny that thought. We hang on to it, it will manifest, and we can actually get that person to come in there and go, okay, it's time to do that. I had a person the other day who I was sitting there, the girl comes in the freaking room, she asked me a question about this guy, and she said, does this guy still like me, or is he still in love with me, does he have feelings for me, all kind of stuff. I said, let me ask you a question. She goes, what's that? I said, why are you so resonating, why are you so letting that resonate with you, and the idea of how he feels? Because I'll tell you right now, with the idea you're focusing on, you're having a lot of doubt within yourself. I said, what you really need to do is ask yourself flat out, you're so consumed in the idea of getting back with this person that you haven't asked yourself one question. She goes, what's that? Do you really want to? Because right now you're focusing on one thing. You're focusing on what you had with that person. So your mind is in the past. And also, it's not even on the now right now, because if it was, you would see the thing for what it was. But you're also thinking about, if I get back with this person, I can have a better future. But the now is being ignored. And then I sit here and told her flat out, what you need to do is focus on the situation. It's all about you and what you really want, need, and desire. And ask yourself with the situation of what's really going on with this person, of what he reflected back at you about yourself that you didn't find out, that you're still striving to get back with that person to actually realize about yourself. And she was like, you know, I kind of have a tendency, people are like, oh, he's so straightforward, he's so honest, and sometimes he can be rude. Rudeness I think it's one of those things that's your perception will perceive me if I'm being rude or not. This woman looked at me and she goes, you know something? I needed a swift kick in the ass to get motivated.
Sometimes
exactly
we all
what
do.
I need to do in my life, and thank you so much, you know? And I like the confirmation, but you're right. We have a lot of times, you know this for a fact, we have a lot of people who snub us. We know they hear us, but they're going to treat us like not nice to actually get us to back off because they don't want to deal with it. But like I said, when you keep going and going, you're going to have really pleasant experiences like that. Well, someone's going to come back nonchalantly and just tell you that you just basically made a major change in their lives. So you know for a fact from that point, they're going to do the same. Love reflections,
you know,
don't you?
Just before the show, I did two readings for a couple. It was a lot of fun to do the reading for them. Mm-hmm. The guy was like, oh, yeah, whatever. I don't know what you guys are doing. This is kind of weird. But she was almost in tears because her reading was right on and very, very powerful and true. And then I did his, and he was just like, oh, my gosh, really? Every single thing. So, you know, it's a lot of fun to be able to coach people. I do love that so much. That's why I'm in that field. But it's mm-hmm. to see people realize what's real. It's, I don't know, it's cool. I love it.
Well, I get to. Yes, I've had situations like I had a palm reading like that once where a couple came in and she got her palm reading first, and after he was done, he was freaking out going, I'm good. I don't want to do this. No. And then as he walks off, my friend looks at me and she goes, what's his problem? I said, he's having an affair with his girlfriend. And he doesn't want her to find out because I just read her like a freaking book and he's freaking out. And I was just like, but when you look at the situation, like I thought today was a very interesting day. There was no reading. I did do one for a girl who used to work down the Mariner. I've seen her a couple times, and she's kind of looking at me saying, well, I don't have any money, but I'll be happy to come back when I do. And she said, I lost my job, and I don't know if I can, you know, what I can. I said, why don't you do me a favor? And she goes, what? I said, why don't you come in now? Let me give you some insight and the whole thing like that, and give you some direction so you can get onto that new job and get this thing going, you know? And she goes, really? I love that word. Really? Yes, really. Come on in and sit down and do the whole thing. And what's so funny about the whole thing was everything that came up, she already knew. It was a realization for her. It was a confirmation as well. So she knew what she had to do, and she knew where she had to go. And it was kind of funny. I like the idea of connecting with people, too, because she's really in archaeology. And we got the chance. We actually started talking about this documentary I just saw, like, last week. And she's like, oh, yeah, I know about that one. It was about this one that's actually here in Colorado, that they found this humongous spot that's actually got, like, you can actually cut the wall. It was like a lake bed, and they're actually going to build a dam down there and flood the whole area, which is probably underwater now. That's why they only had like 60 days to go in and basically do this dig real quick to get all these bones and stuff. They found mastodons, mammoths. You remember that character in Ice Age, the little one that keeps chasing the acorn? Okay, they found those kind of creatures, except for at this period, those things were the size of bears. Okay, can you imagine that? This huge thing chasing after an acorn, and it was so they found all these things in here. They couldn't figure out what happened to them all and that kind of stuff. And they realized it was a place where they have earthquakes. And back in the day, and you have a lake with sand around it, what happens when you have an earthquake? Sometimes if you have animals around it, the ground shakes to the point where they actually sink into the ground like quicksand. And as soon as the earthquake's over with, it goes right back to solid. So they feel like what they found out was these animals were trapped and actually basically starved and everything. That's why they were all in one area, because it all happened at one time. But it was kind of amazing to sit there and talk to this girl, because she saw the same one and she knew all about it. And it's here in Colorado. I can't really tell you exactly where it's at, because I've never been in Colorado. And it's a place, if you know a place where they just basically build a dam and flooded the area, then you probably know where it's at. But you have to get scuba diving gear to go see this time. But it was so cool about this place was the way it was layered. You could actually cut a part of it apart when they dug down into it, and it was almost like layers of history, where you could actually just look at the layers and know what time of period it happened. It was kind of one of those things where it was an easy dig to go into, where they were just digging. And this one guy, these two guys actually had a contest to see how long they would dig in this area before they would find a bone of a dinosaur, or not a dinosaur, but of these creatures. And actually they said probably about 2 minutes, and then they sit there and decided to go, okay, let's find out. And actually the next time he did it was like a minute and a half. They found a mastodon's leg. So it was, that's what archaeologists dream. You just dig, hey! But it was, that's one thing that makes this job, is the idea of connecting with people too, because if you really listen to what's going on with the people you connect with, it'll help you understand why. But right now I'm having this situation where somebody said they redid the astrology thing, where we still have the 12, but the dates are different. And I actually have a book I just got where it shows that if you thought you were Taurus, now you're probably an Aries, because they've changed the timing.
Actually, the way that's done, because everybody was freaking out when it first came out, and the way that they do it, it doesn't affect the rest of us who are already alive and born under a certain sign. It affects those who are being born now.
Okay.
And it's because of shifting of planets and whatnot. So sorry, I did look into that. I studied that. So because it kind of freaked me out. And that was the information that I got.
Right, because I was actually in the middle of a reading. I pulled a book out, and I was sitting there, because the girl thought she thought she was a certain sign. So I pulled out and go, the 13th to the 22nd. Okay, I'm confused. What happened here? This book is messed up. So it threw me off. So what I did was I went back to what I know and actually looked at the situation when I do readings for people anyway. I have a tendency to really focus on them as an individual. And most of those things have a tendency to stand true anyway, instead of the newer way. So that's kind of amazing, because I just feel like the energy and that kind of stuff. It was pretty cool, because we actually had the conversation about men are from Mars and women are from Venus. And I said, well, I'm a Taurus, so therefore my planet is Venus, so I hang out with the Venus people anyway. So I was also looking at those things too, the idea of planets. And when we have main planets in certain astrology signs too, and how it actually affects them, that they might not be true of the situation. What planet do you hang out? But the one thing I know for a fact, it doesn't matter if you think you're from Mars or you think you're from Venus. Guess what? Right now you reside on Earth. So therefore there is a middle ground in the situation. Maybe you should be focusing on having the influences of both, which is the idea of having balance between masculine and feminine, which is kind of crazy, because I've done the research on this whole thing. And it seems like the girls focus on the idea of balance between the masculine and feminine too as well. They have a tendency to be more feminine, and the people like men who focus on balancing the two as well have a tendency to be more masculine. So you can definitely see that balance is important. So it's the ideal. That's focusing on those aspects, you know, the whole, what do you call that? Just think about it. The idea of you feel imbalanced, you can look at the situation and see why it's so important. Because I like the idea right now that I put the chakra chart in the shop, because it's right next to the seat, the people I'm doing readings for, and it's been, especially for the last couple of days, people come in, and I can actually say, well, this certain chakra is imbalanced, and I can actually show them which one it is, which actually helps me give them visuals on where they can focus on it within themselves, so using the chart.
The white one.
So it's like also showing people that when the process of balancing your chakras, all you have to do is really focus on bringing that white light into yourself, for that clearing, for that balancing, that kind of stuff. And it's kind of funny that the chakras are on a white police call. So I guess it didn't. If somebody decided to tear it off there and blow it down the freaking street, and then someone found it, came back to me, and I put it inside the shop, like we always say, everything happens for a reason. Now it's probably where it's supposed to be at.
Yes. The universe picks things up and shifts them around, and sometimes it freaks us out for a minute, but everything lands exactly the way that it's supposed to, and usually much happier, much better.
I think it's also funny how some people have a tendency to be so centered on things that they don't see things right in front of their faces, okay? I was sitting there, and Lily came by. She's in a hurry. She's doing her little thing. She got a kid in her arm. All this craziness is going on, right? I'm sitting there talking to her, and she's like, I really want to come back and talk to you. I really want to sit down with you and that kind of thing, but I really got to do this and this. And I said, hey, you know something? I just got this brand-new table and chairs, which I was really wanting to show you. And she's like, oh. And then all of a sudden, it was like, she didn't even see him until somebody said something, and she goes, oh, wow. It was kind of funny to see how a person's change, how they change so quickly when they start realizing something's in their environment. And it was like a cool thing. So I was like, but I also look at these situations going, that's something to teach people too, and the idea of what are you missing because you're being so focused on something that doesn't really matter. Think about that. Things have a tendency to preoccupy us that we think are so important until something else is brought into our environment and says, oh, look at this cool table and chairs. And then they forget about everything. Because why? Because maybe it wasn't important as they thought it was. Kind of a bringing you back down to earth, I guess. And I actually had some girl come on the shop the other day, and she goes, you know, the sky is up a limit because it's a void. It goes on forever. So there are no limitations. I was like, wow, someone said it to me. I'm usually saying it to everybody else. So that was kind of interesting in itself. So any kind of realizations happen for you lately?
All the time, but it's just stuff that I know already. Heather, get your ass up and moving. What are you doing? Why are you just sitting here? They're tiny, tiny, tiny little breakthroughs that I have over and over and over. But, yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, it's one of those things. I usually ask the question. Is this something you can share with the rest of us in the audience? And that kind of stuff would be great. Or I should say the rest of us around the round table.
Okay, well, the biggest lesson that I am learning at this moment is consistent effort over time equals results. Equals the positive results that you're looking for. So, you know, just like you going into the shop every day, that's consistent effort. When you're there and people can count on you, they know that you'll be there. And that's your consistent effort, and it equals the positive results that you're getting. So, minus the wrench that people throw into your plan, but well, it's just a constant effort. That's where I'm a little butterfly all over the place. I love people. I love talking to people. I have a hard time sitting still. And that's why certain things are good for me to do and some things are not good for me to do. So, but
right.
It's just a matter of being consistent. And so
that's
a lesson that I am learning, and it's something that I already know. But it's a matter of applying that. Yes, we may know 2 + 2 is 4, but are we going to apply that to something? And are we going to apply our math skills? Or our English skills.
I was sitting here talking the other day. What was it? I was talking to somebody about, I had a client call me today, and she was talking about that she had all these ants with wings. And it was like, you know, I was always wondering why I had all these freaking jobs before I got to this point. You know, what was the point? It never worked out. It just wasn't something that was supposed to go anywhere. And then I was sort of talking to her, and she calls me up, and she's like, I said, you know, I used to work for Terminex. She goes, I know. That's why I'm calling you. So you could actually give me some insights on what these are out. Are they termites? Are they carpenter ants? I said, well, they're carpenter ants. And the idea of most carpenter ant situations, usually you don't worry about those because they're usually, in those kind of situations, it's just a damp or a humidity problem or moisture. Well, they took care of that whole thing too as well. So therefore, it's just one of those things that was the last thing about, okay, there's no moisture here, so it's time to fly, time to go, that kind of thing. But it was like funny how all these things that we've gone through, they will come to the surface again, and you will find out why, because you probably have information that somebody needs to know about. So therefore, it's amazing. With this job, I've actually sat down with people, not just working about chakras, but also taking it one step further in the process of them wanting to get their physical bodies in shape too as well, to balance the whole thing out. I was actually a personal trainer for like 20 years. So it's, all these things are now, like, who was it? I just got these new cards, angels with messages from the angels. These cards are spooky. And I was sitting there going, okay, I'm going to shuffle the cards, I'm going to focus. And I said, I'm not asking any specific questions. All I said was romance. I wanted about romance. And all of a sudden, the first card was, it says, a romantic relationship is intimate. It's going to happen. It's like on the surface. It's happening. You just haven't yet seen the whole thing yet, but boom. I was like, oh, that's kind of freaky. Because you can't sit there and go, well, once he's like, go ahead.
They're just creepy because they're so accurate. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they're like my angel tarot. That when you do those things, people go, readings this last week have been like, people just look at the cards going, wow, you don't have to really do anything but sit here and point the cards out to us, because that's just, I was thinking about that yesterday, you know, and things like that. So that's freaking, but when you look at the situation, I think they don't understand that as we're shuffling the cards, when we're focusing on those cards, you know, my thing is to get people to also focus too. As I'm sitting here talking to you, I'm not probing you for information. I'm trying to get you to center. So therefore, the information comes to you a whole lot quicker because you're focused. It's clear. It's all done.
You know, that was something that I said. Well, that's the two readings that I did tonight for the couple that I was talking about. The intuition mm-hmm. card came up for both of them, and mm-hmm. so my coaching to them was, pay attention. We all have this ability. It comes much quicker and much easier for some, but honestly, we mm-hmm. do have. We all have this ability. So. Pay attention. Listen. What are your angels saying to you? Because they whisper in your ear, but you do have to acknowledge them. You have to call them. You have to call on them, and tell them that you want their help. You want their advice. Please talk to me. Please give me mm-hmm. guidance. What do I do? And
yeah, I know.
You know,
that's the thing I was talking to. You know, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. It's just that. Yeah, I'm complete.
No, I'm
good.
Just saying. People keep talking about the ideals. I mean. If the angels and your guys are telling you everything, what is there for us to do? Open to receive it, and then follow through with what
right.
you know you need to do.
Right.
That's what
well,
you need to
you
do.
Well, you know, this experience with my family yesterday really, really brought to my attention that was another epiphany that I had. I see such a different energy in the younger people. And in the older group of people, it's a very closed-minded, very narrow thinking. And, you know, the whole thing of being Christ-like and truly taking on the name of Christ, having a higher Christ consciousness, right? That's
mm-hmm.
That's more than just saying, I'm Christian, and you're doing this wrong. Because that's
yeah.
not what we're supposed to be doing. Just because you claim to be Christian does not mean that you can point fingers at anyone. You don't get to point fingers. You get to be accountable for your actions and how things came into your space, and you get to learn from what you've done, and you still get to love all people. No matter what they've done. And believe me, this is something
mm-hmm.
I am still learning how to love those who've hurt me. Okay? And I can love them much easier when they're away from me than I can when they're next to me. But that's kind of the point. You know, you don't have to judge people.
Mm-hmm.
You just say, you know what, this energy doesn't work for me. So I really, really don't get to have this in my space. I just don't. And rather than biting people's heads off and hurting,
mm-hmm.
because hurting is not Christ-like. That is not living a higher Christ consciousness.
Attacking people is a hurtful thing. Attacking people is a hurtful thing because you're not even trying to understand what's even going on.
Right.
You know,
right.
I think the reason, the one thing that set me off this week and the idea of having the first two, three days, well, I mean, what is today? Thursday? Yeah, the first 2 days of this week, somebody put some stuff on my freaking shop. And it was one of those things where I was really appalled by the whole thing because it's like my personal opinion about the whole thing is to say this. Is if you put something on my door about anything that's saying that you don't believe that God would approve of anything. See, the thing is, you're supposed to read the Bible. You're supposed to get the information. You're supposed to listen to things to change your life. By focusing on changing your life, changing your perception, changing within yourself, will reflect to everybody else. And that's how you change the world, by changing within yourself. And these people here really need some work because really when they're sitting there doing this in-your-face kind of thing, they're still kind of, I think they're still kind of like indecisive about their own beliefs too as well. So they have to impose that on somebody else, not realizing that's a fear that they're projecting on me, saying, "You have this is the way it is, and this is just the way it is." But seriously, if we think about the reflection, what's really going on is they're doing it to actually prove it to themselves. So that's, I mean, the first thing I did was someone printed out a bunch of stuff and said, "God does not approve of this." Put it on my freaking door. And I told him flat out, I told the person I was saying when I did this, I said, this person has lost their credibility because if they had any kind of convictions about what they do or what they believe in, then you would have this backbone to stand there and find me when I'm there to tell me such things. And I just feel like that's the most disrespectful thing. I also, there was another incident where some lady stuck her head in my door and said, do you believe in Jesus? Jesus wouldn't approve of this. The thing I had a problem with is Jesus, if you look at Jesus' life, there's one incident where I think it's Mary Magdalene is about ready to get stoned. And not in the sense you guys think, it's in Colorado. But she was about ready.
Not in the Colorado sense of things.
Yeah. They were about ready to impose their kind of justice on her because they felt like she was a wicked woman. And Jesus basically didn't condemn them for what they were doing. What he did was he sat there and made them think about it. Okay, the first person who has never committed to sin, go ahead and throw a rock. And they sit there and thought about it, and nobody threw a rock because they all know they have their own infractions. They've done their own little thing that they're not too proud of. And he brought it to their attention to make them think about it. He didn't tell them they were right or wrong. He just said, think about what you're doing. And when he sit there and put it out there in a certain way, they thought about it and said, I can't do this because I'm not a perfect person. And here I'm trying to say this person has been perfect, so she needs to be stoned and she needs to die. So when they put that perception in their heads to make them realize what they were doing.
Another thing is they were terrified of her and what she was doing. She was a very powerful woman with a very great purpose.
They were trying to judge her because of her infractions of what she was, you know.
Right,
you know,
but she had to do what she was doing. She had to be a whore, per se, if you will, because she had, like I said, she had a purpose. She couldn't fulfill that purpose without being who she was. So they didn't know. They didn't get it. Again, the narrow-mindedness. And Christ's way of bringing it to their attention that she is not any more wrong and worthy of death than they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole point of not judging. None of us know where somebody else is at, what they're going to.
Probably.
That's the whole thing I was trying to get across to my family was you have to love people and understand that this person is losing their mind because they're hurt. And through that hurt and that craziness, they are causing havoc everywhere they go. And if you feed into it, they're going to keep going because that's what they need. That's what they want because they don't know what else to do. And so to stand back and say, this person is hurting. I don't want them on my face. I can love them over there, but they don't have to be right here with me, causing chaos in my life. But I understand, and I know that they're not bad, sick, and wrong. I know they're hurt. I know they're messed up in the head. I know that they're struggling.
I know this is happening. I know a heroin addict who cannot function right, who has beautiful, amazing dreams, incredible dreams, and can't fulfill them because of this addiction that just eats them alive. And so, therefore, tears up everybody's life around them. And but it doesn't mean that they're about sick and wrong. It means that they're in trouble and they can't get out. And some people, I can't help them. The only thing I can do is love people and put light around them. They have to want the help first. When they want it, then you can help. No judgment. Sorry, enough on a tangent.
That's what we come back out of the soapbox.
Yeah, I'm off my soapbox.
Okay.
I so badly want to go over there. I'm like trapped in this tiny little nook of rock, and there's people. I can feel this energy like throbbing about 50 feet away from me, and I want to go over there so bad. Say hello to everybody. Anyways, but I'm sitting here being still. I'm stretching outside of my comfort zone.
Well, that's good.
I don't
glad
know.
To hear
I
it.
Guessed it.
No, I'm sitting looking
at the
question.
It's always good to stretch outside one's comfort zone.
Okay. All I wanted to say to people out there, if you just called in, I mean, if you just, okay, how would we put this? If you're out there and you just started listening to the show, this is Psychic X Journey Man. This is my show, Psychic X Journey Man Spiritual Link. This is Heather, the co-host. So we have these things. Thursday seems to be a talk night. We do have some people in the queue, but, oh, someone did come back in. Anyway, I was sitting there going, hey, someone just called back in. But I was also was going to sit here and say, welcome to the show. This is Psychic X Journey Man Spiritual Link. And actually, the show itself, these episodes are actually called Psychic X Journey Man's Spiritual Roundtable, where we actually sit and focus on these spiritual concepts and the idea of helping people understand certain concepts that they think they know about, and some people do. I will say that. I'm not saying everybody has a situation, but we have a tendency to touch on the people who actually want to sit there and try to teach us something who are still in the process of learning, and they're not looking at the reflections. It's just the idea of this freaking craziness and trying to portray something that doesn't exist. We were talking about this in relationships, too, where I was telling this one lady, and I said, you know something, let's look at the situation of the relationship you're in. Because if you sit there and basically, I just had this with a friend of mine. I'm not going to mention her name. But it was the idea of a person who was compromising herself to make a relationship work. Not realizing, guess what? If you're doing that kind of compromising, there is no relationship. You're just sitting there trying to make something out of nothing, and that's, I always see this, too, where it's like, I'm always tired all the time. Why am I so tired? Because when you're conjuring up something out of nothing, there has to be some kind of substance of essence of two people who are connected. That kind of shows you right there is no bond or connection. It's something that was connected that most people don't get. They don't realize we're all connected. We all come from the same source, so therefore we're all connected. It's the idea of taking and looking at these situations like the ideal desire list. You're focusing on what kind of person you want to be with, that kind of relationship you want to have. Those are very important to actually look at these situations to see what they are. Because I have a lot of people sitting going, well, this guy, if you're asked one question, like, does this guy like me? I would question that relationship, what kind of connection you have, because it should be really clear to her. So I have a tendency not to sit there and go, okay, there's no relationship. I don't do that. What I'm saying is I ask her a couple questions like, what does she feel? Because it might be something she's just looking for confirmation of something she already does feel. Like the thing you were talking about, the ideals, everybody has psychic abilities. And I think the people who denounce their psychic abilities are the ones that have a tough time realizing what kind of connection they really have because they're not listening to themselves. Or maybe they have a religious preference that tells them they're not supposed to do that. I was sitting watching this thing. I was actually on YouTube, and I watched these subliminal videos. I think it's called I God something something, where they have all these things for manifesting. Yeah, I think that's what it's called. Anyway, they have comments down at the bottom, right? And this one guy goes, "What you should do is you should listen to your subconscious mind. You should listen to God." All I could think of was God is impressing upon your subconscious mind and the ideal of manifesting what your desires into reality. He's trying to help you understand how to do that, which you have to go through the subconscious mind. What the conscious mind impresses upon the subconscious mind is what comes into reality, what you manifest. What the universe goes, okay, thank you for the information, and poof, there's what you got. So you're sitting there going imposing upon your subconscious mind that everything's impossible, guess what the universe is going to do? It's going to basically create every situation that's impossible for you to get what you really want. So you're always going to think that. So therefore, whatever you see is, whatever you feel or know is true. The subconscious mind, the universe cannot give you anything other, cannot give you anything other than what you have imposed upon that subconscious mind. Why was that so hard to say? I have no idea.
You know, I guess that's why it's important for us to have dream boards and have pictures everywhere. And I encourage people to write stuff on the mirror and say affirmations, and because that gets our subconscious mind focused on what it is that we really want. Meditation.
Yeah. Well, my thing is just the ideal of, like we said before, they're focus boards, okay? Not session boards. So if you sit there and focus on it all day, then you have a problem. And that board can actually become a block. What you need to do is understand. I always thought with Senator Tom, this one person, I said, write the desire list and read it 3 times a day. And then focus. Well, it's like one of those things where you can visualize things. If you're visualizing and feeling it, that's obsession. You're trying to create something. But if you're constantly focusing on the board itself, do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you focus on the board is not going to give you anything. What it's doing, what the focus board is to focus on you and your desires and what you want to create, not the focus board itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You sound so happy about that.
I'm just trying to help people out. I believe it's a great tool.
Oh, you're thinking. Okay. Yeah. I'm just saying, it's like the ideal. You look at the situation like a tool. You look at everything like a tool, like a hammer. You use the hammer, and you build, you create. But you don't have to keep a hammer on you all the time just in case it doesn't happen the way you want it to. You put it in the drawer, and then you sit back, and you go out and enjoy what you just built. That's what I'm trying to say. So a focus board is the same thing. It's like your hammer. It helps you create your visions and your visuals into reality. And then once you do that, you do like the hammer. You let go of the focus board and go live your life that you just created because you used this tool. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Looks like this. I get paid the big bucks.
No, I know. You have to understand I'm pondering. So it's...
You're pondering.
Okay, sorry, yeah. It is a bit noisy here.
No, you're fine. That's about almost clearing the throat.
Oh, no, it was a noisy little car with a bad muffler. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so while we're talking, I am going to walk. I was just going to sit here and be a good girl, but there is a house that I want, and so while we're talking about manifesting, I'm going to walk by this house and, again, look at this house.
Is this the purple and white house?
No, it's on a stage, and I'm so excited. I want it so bad. It's beautiful, just beautiful. Anyway,
okay. Well, so. I just want to sit here and take a caller.
Okay.
Okay.
Should I? Okay, we're going to go to...
No, you're fine. I can't hear anything, so let's go to area code 661. Welcome to the show, and how are you? What's your name?
Hi, my name is Jane.
Your name is Jane.
Hi, Jane.
Right?
Hi. Hi, how are you?
Where are you calling from, Jane? You said Jane, right?
Yes. Calling from Toronto.
Okay, I'll freak out. I said I would freak out if you said you had a boyfriend named Tarzan. Okay, so. I'll just put it out there. So let's just get past
Johnny,
that.
Johnny, your sense of humor.
Now, this just kind of swing into the situation. What's up? Anyway, how can we help you, Jane? Please let us help you.
Okay. Do I have any messages from my angels?
Do you have any angels? Do you have any messages from your angels and the ideal focusing on?
Career. I'm looking to change careers.
Yeah, I get the impression you're being very indecisive about what you really want to do and what direction you want to take.
Yeah.
Would you sit there and say that the idea of the indecisiveness has to do with the idea of what you think is going to be secure, make you feel secure, make you feel like you are kind of sit there and say, it's like security and success, but at the same time, it seems like you're focusing too much on security and the idea of making your choice when you should be focusing on what you really passionately want to do. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I feel like the idea of your passions could be very successful for you.
Okay.
You seem like you're drained in some way too.
Drained from my current job.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. So where are you calling from?
Toronto.
Toronto?
Yes.
We get a lot of calls from Canada.
Do you? That's fun.
Yes, it's almost. Yeah, so it's one of those situations and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we do. I was just kind of noticing that when you said you're from where you're from, I'm like, oh, We get a lot of calls from Canada.
Oh, do you?
And sometimes I feel like it's the energy. The energy seems to be a little bit different in Canada than it is here. Sometimes I feel like it's a little heavy, you know?
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. But the first thing I picked up when you said you're doing my angels having messages is the idea that they keep focusing on trying to get through to you. Like they're talking, because you're asking, I've heard this before, where they're sitting going, is there any messages from my angels? And your angel, and someone saying, the angels are saying, we've been trying to give her a message for a long time, but she's not listening. Almost like we're trying to give her a gentle touch and what she should be, or a gentle push on which way she should go, almost to the point where I could get a picture of three guardian angels for you. And the reason I get three guardian angels is because we have one for each shoulder and one to push. And it's being, I guess, I don't know if angels get frustrated, but that's what I feel about it. It's a little frustrating. And they're trying to really push you in a way that would actually be more, not just financially successful, but actually be fun and playful. How's that? That's what I see mostly. Something that would be very enjoyable and the idea of actually having a great career.
Okay.
You have choices right now.
Yes.
How many choices do you have?
Looking at three different areas, you know, again, looking to do a career change and looking at three different job types.
Let me ask you a question. When you say a career change, what do you mean by that? Okay, do you have a job that you work, that you go to every day as like a, I guess, a 9-to-5 kind of thing?
Not 9-to-5. It's, you know, like it's odd hours. Just looking to make a change in, you know, my career. Just want to do something different.
I guess the reason I asked the question, because most people think that they have a job, they've been working for a while, they think it's a career. And I realize that a career is actually something someone does because they're passionate about it and they love it, and that's something they just feel like they're destined to do. And what's your situation?
Yeah.
You're working a job, and you're making what most people, that guy always said, are talking about the world filtering in, saying, okay, to be responsible, you have to have a real job. Not realizing, what is a real job? Realistically, a real job is something that, instead of letting the world choose it for you, you actually choose it yourself. So it's just not being fulfilling anymore. It's not really doing things like it used to before. And now it's like one of those things where I'm looking for something more challenging in a different direction.
Yeah.
The challenging part that you're looking for is basically within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was saying before. The message I got was, what are you passionate about? What do you love? What would be the one thing in your life that if you could turn it into a career, what would it be? And it might sound simple, but it is that simple, and the ideal of choosing a career. And it seemed like you like that word career because you really want something that's going to be very challenging for you, that every day you go in, it's something new, something unexpected. True?
Yes.
So this thing here drives me crazy, just thinking about your job. Anyway. No, my thing is it touches on my feelings about why I don't, as people call it, work a real job. Because I don't like the idea of fulfilling someone else's dream. I don't like the idea of fulfilling someone else's destiny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I know it was kind of funny when you said three choices, because I was thinking, why don't I just sit here and tell her she has three choices? to the bathroom. But that's exactly what I picked up on. It was three choices. And I feel like there actually could be other choices, but these are the three that actually came to the forefront. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you could tell me the three choices and we can sit there and figure out which one it is.
Well, yeah, three different areas, so just a matter of deciding which would suit me more.
Mm-hmm. What would actually make you feel like you're actually accomplishing something in this lifetime?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you see me getting a new job? Do you see me getting a new job soon?
Actually, the impression I get could happen. And I want to clarify this, because a lot of people go, "You mean?" But I usually say within the month, huh? And they'll go, "Oh, you mean by the end of this month?" No, I mean in 30 days. But that's also your perception, because most people look at, for some reason, people focus on the month as 31 days. So, but my thing is, it comes up as within the next month, which means in the next 30 days.
Oh, okay.
But when you look at the situation, the angels are like, in the idea of making choices, it's the idea of realizing one thing. Things happen quicker when you're not indecisive and you just allow yourself. And because it's like, the first thing I said was, it's what you love and what you're passionate about. But it's also a prompting within yourself to go in that direction. Like certain things start falling into place all the time that head you in that direction.
Okay.
This would help. Because it's one of those things, it's like you have three directions to go into, okay? So you take each direction and you actually put yourself in those scenarios and you sit there and go, okay, how would I feel in that position? Does it really serve me? Because the only person can really tell you if it serves you is because you create your world. You create your, you know what you like, you know what your preferences are, and you know how you feel. So you take each one of those scenarios and put yourself into it and say, okay, how do I feel here? Is this really going to serve me? Not what you can, because most people get into the job and they start thinking, how can I serve the job? Which takes away from self, which is very important, the idea what direction you need to go into. You're sitting there focusing on a lot of things, and it's one of those things where you got to take that separation. Give us these areas. Just give us some insights on the whole thing, and I'll tell you what I pick up from the whole thing.
No, I'm just worried, you know, I may not be happy, you know, with the choice that I make, so.
Oh, so we have a situation of a person. When you sit there and think about that, when that kind of worry, I think it's more, for me, it seems like it comes off from the idea that you've gone through a lot of things in your life that you failed at. So you're actually scared of making a decision to do the same thing.
Yeah, I just don't want to take the first job that comes my way and, you know, and then.
That's a wise thing to do. That's a very wise thing to do. You're actually, it's almost like you've got a conflict with yourself where you have all this belief in yourself, at the same time, you don't. Because I was sitting there talking about this the other day. Worry, the definition of worry is a lack of faith. But see, then you take a step further to help you understand what that means. It's a lack of faith in yourself because you've made mistakes in the past. That's why we sit and tell people you need to let go of this baggage because it interferes with your decision making. Also, the ideal, you need to trust your gut feeling on this whole thing. You need to follow your heart.
Okay.
Most people sit and say, well, you can follow your heart, you're going to get yourself in trouble. No, you don't. It's the ideal. Taking a look at all those crazy situations where you did that, but you'll find out you were following your heart at first, but then you let the mind as logic come in and tell you otherwise. So then you first started doubting yourself. At that moment, you wasn't following your heart anymore. You were actually following the fear, where you start putting yourself in a situation saying, okay, I guess I got to do this because if I don't, just using those words, you're making a decision of fear. Every time you make a decision or go in the direction of fear, you're always going to have a bad outcome. Okay, but I guarantee if you listen to yourself, follow your heart, let it resonate with you, what makes you feel good, you have a positive outcome, and it'll be the right choice.
Yeah. Okay.
Anytime you follow your heart, there's always a good outcome. But see, the one thing people don't realize when you're following your heart, If anybody would sit there and do any kind of chakra work, okay, you'll notice that we have seven chakras that we mostly work with within the body, okay? If you look at the situation, there's three upper ones and three lower ones. And then the heart is the fourth, is the seventh one in the middle of all those things, okay? So it also helps you with the idea of understanding balance. Because we have three chakras above the heart, which connects us to spirit. And then we have three chakras below that actually connect us to the earth and all the earthly materialistic senses. So therefore, the heart is in the middle, which is important because it connects and it balances it out. It balances between spirit and physical.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you don't know anything about the chakras and that kind of stuff, that's fine. All you have to do is realize one thing. You have to have your heart open, and you have to follow your heart. Well, actually will help you get anything as in the physical world you desire, that you deserve. And also the same thing is when you open your heart, it also connects you to the upper chakras, which connects you to spirit, that actually gives you insight to make a good decision to follow your heart. So you always know you're going in the right direction. The more you keep following your heart, you won't just feel it. You will also see it because it illuminates the mind to the truth. And then we introduce the idea that you are clairvoyant. You do see things for what they are. It's just that logical side of yourself sometimes has a tendency to make you believe that you don't. Is that true?
Okay. Yeah.
I just wish you a little bit. It's like you need to tap into your fire within yourself. When's your birthday?
June 18th.
Your birthday's when?
June 18th.
You said June 18th?
Yes.
I can understand the indecisiveness from the idea of being Gemini.
Yeah.
So what you need to understand, too, with the Gemini is I've had some Gemini friends who actually have a tendency to balance the twins, which is also a good example of how you can actually balance your life out, and they're very strong. Very strong with what they want to do. But they've also got a handle on both sides. So they're usually very, very sporty, very masculine, tomboyish. But at the same time, they could be also, when it comes to their feminine sides, they can also be very feminine too as well. My daughter's a Gemini. I know this for a fact. And she's a very sporty, knock you on your ass when she plays sports. But then when she's going to a dance, she's also very prissy. She wears makeup. She does the whole thing. This is a girl who actually ordered a dress on Wednesday, so she'll have it for the weekend so she can go out. Therefore, yeah, so when you start looking at the situation, it's kind of funny how I like Gemini's in essence, Thor, because when they really want something, they will find the source, and they will have it.
Yeah.
Saying you need to, that's what I'm saying. You need to tap into that fiery side of yourself. Because I think that you are like that. I think you can be very talkative, too. So with the situation with the person I'm picking up on now, you're very, I understand the situation when people call in and we're talking and kind of stuff. They have seems to be a little reserved. I'm just saying from what I can pick up with you, you have a lot of energy. You have a lot of fire within you. So therefore, you just got to let go of that one part that tells you might be making a mistake. And just trust yourself like you've never done before. But all those past experiences and all those past mistakes you've made, put in your mind they don't exist anymore. They actually brought you to this situation and making a good decision. So they all happen for a reason, which is let you hear, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
So just trust yourself. Realize you're awesome, you're fantastic, and you're a very gifted woman. So look at those things foremost, and they will actually play out more in the situation, you think, and you won't be making a bad decision. So, Heather, are you still with us?
I am.
So what's your insight to this situation?
Well, honestly, the very first thing I got was a very, very excited, loud, your angels love you. They love you, and they're always with you. But they want you to know that they love you. Okay, just relax. Calm down. Don't stress, honey. It's all okay. And you know, any decision that you make, you can change it. You can get out of that. You know, it may take a minute, but at least you'll know that that was not the one. So, but again, you have to tune into what it is that you enjoy.
What do you like? Because that, when you are doing something that you enjoy, you're not working. You're having fun. And you get paid to do it. So tune into that. And and it's, you know, Donnie may have answers of what decision you might make, but that's not necessarily the right one for you to hear him say to you, okay? Which is sometimes why it's good for us to not know the future. But his coaching on you tuning into what you like, is that's important. That's important because that's where your happiness is, okay?
Yeah.
So embrace the love of your angels. Love you. Love your gifts and talents. Be in gratitude for your gifts and talents. And dance with your angels. Find what fits you, honey. And go with it. Run with it. That's your answer. That's where you get to go. Whatever makes you the happiest.
Yeah.
So I guess, okay, let me say this for example. Let's say you are a teacher and you have special qualifications where you can work with, you can be the head of a special ed group, or you can be a gifted education teacher, or you can be a principal. Okay.
Okay,
now let's say out of those three choices, they're all magnificent positions, okay, and where the principal position would be, you would have that esteem, you'd have that position, you know, the name, the title, but you have a lot of stress that may come with it. But you have a lot of respect that comes with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But with the gifted education, you get to help children that thrive on learning, and they want to learn more, and they're already very intelligent. And so that is a huge blessing. But then those children that struggle, and the special needs children, they may need what you have to give. And it may be hard, but you may love it. So that's what I'm saying. You've got to tune in to what serves you the best. What do you love?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do? It's all up to you. It's your reality, honey. It's your life.
Yeah. Well, I used to enjoy what I'm doing right now, but that's changed.
Well, change is important because we change as people. And so in order for us to continue to change and grow and learn and evolve and improve, our jobs, our surroundings, our homes, even our circle of influence all have to change. So it's not a bad thing. It's all uplifting. It's your perspective.
I was thinking about what she said. When she was saying she likes what she does, but not anymore. You know, I think it's one of those situations of the desire list we were talking about before. I had a lady do that. We talked about this before. It's a story of a lady who actually loves what she does. She was a manager, and she loved what she did, but she didn't like where she worked. But she liked being a manager. Mm-hmm. So what she did was she went home, she sat down, and she got very serious, very descriptive of what a management position was to her, to the point where she wrote the description of the manager. She actually wrote down the description of the place she really wanted to work. Okay? She also got so detailed. She actually had details of the neighborhood she wanted to live in because she felt like having people around you, no matter where you were, actually affects your if you're successful or not. Well, she didn't want a lot of drama. So it was kind of funny how she did this. Okay, listen to this. I mean, this lady sits there and got very descriptive. Very detailed about anything and everything in her whole freaking life and what she wanted at that moment, because she just got tired of basically the world telling her this is what you're supposed to do, and it just never worked out that way. Okay? And then like looking at the world going, the world to me is like, oh my God, it's like set up for me to actually fail. So she started sitting there and saying, okay, forget the world. I'm going to sit down and do this thing myself. It's a spiritual concept that we call a desire list, and you have to focus on what you want, need, desire. When she did that, and then like in maybe like 2 or 3 weeks, she got 2 job proposals from 2 companies she never applied for. Okay, that's why I like about the story is it's 2 places that gave her, it actually offered her jobs to work at their establishment that she never applied for. Now, because I always tell people, stop thinking so freaking logically, like if you got to do all this crazy stuff. Because I've actually talked to a couple of businesses here in town, Heather. The guy who does the custard ice cream, I've asked him how much advertising he does, and he says he doesn't do any.
No, you don't have to here in Manitou.
Well, I'm just saying, the point is, Manitou is not like the main highway, okay? It's like a little bit off the dead, up off that dead beach. Okay, never mind, I'm not going to go to that one, but it's off the beach just a little bit, okay? But it's amazing how people have a track here. The reason I even say that, because I've actually had people shut my shop who said they were actually led there, or they had a prompting or a feeling or something, and next day they're standing in front of my shop. I said, well, with angels and guides, who needs advertising? They just have a tendency to want to put it out there and focus on my intentions. Today I really want to help a lot of people. It's amazing what shows up my door, which I really haven't done in a while. But I have been focusing on helping people. But sometimes I think we have to reestablish our intentions to the point where, what is your favorite moment in life? And I sit there and I started actually focusing on detail of the readings I've done that were the most enjoyable ones, to the point where I want to use that visual to repeat it over and over again. And the idea, like Heather was talking about before, how you feel the process of being in a reading and giving people information, and then them looking at you saying, they got it. And you know for a fact from the way they look at you, that the information you just gave them is going to change their lives. So they're going to allow it to. But it's actually a relationship between the two of them, too, as well. They got that information to her. Okay?
Yeah.
Do you have any more questions?
No, that's it. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a pleasure talking to you. Please keep in touch with us, and if you want to get a private reading sometime, I'll be glad to sit down and do one for you.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. You have a great night.
You too. Bye.
Good night, honey.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Oh, I have to tell you, all of a sudden I'm very tired. I'm very yawny.
Oh, really?
Anyway. Yes. So I was sitting there staring at the house the entire time we were talking and while you were talking. And I have mixed emotions. I like the house, but I don't know if it's where I get to be. And then I started thinking, well, ooh, I wonder if it's a, because it's a 3-story house and it looks like the top is empty, but the bottom is not. It looks like, well, there are people living in the bottom. And so that doesn't work for me. I don't want a house that has, I don't want below neighbors.
Go buy the house and kick them out.
Yeah, I know, huh?
Well, I was talking to my friend in Washington State, and I told her, you know, she was looking at the situation and she was having, things wasn't working out very financially for her. And I was like, you know, we talked about the house, and she was like, and she was thinking about the house and stuff like that, and I just said I felt like there was something, a big change coming forward, that kind of stuff. And then she called me back up, and she's like, you know, something I think you're right about the change thing is I just feel very strong and passionate I should sell my house. And she said, I already have somebody. I'm thinking about selling it, too. And she said, I want to sell it to my son. And I think the situation will work out really well. In the process, I can still stay here and sell the house to him, and I actually make money off the whole thing, get myself in a situation financially where I am actually content. He gets the house, and everything else goes well. And it was just the idea of telling her that she should start downsizing because she doesn't need all the things she used to have, and she's even been saying it a lot, too. Even though it's been kind of crazy with those spirits we were talking about before she was on the show, when she talked about having the little girl in the backyard, the spirits. And I started thinking about it, and I've seen this before when people sell houses and everything's kind of changes and stuff.
Yeah.
That you have a tendency to wake up spirits because of the transitions and stuff. And I was telling her about the whole thing, too, and there's still some signs and all kinds of stuff going on with her in a situation of an affair she used to have a long time ago, that she was asking the question about how come I can't let go of it? And I think it's because, and the reason I'm actually saying this, I just feel like there's some people out there who need to hear this too as well, that sometimes our curiosity, what it's doing is it's trying to find something that it can actually get the answers to, which is the final step of letting go of the whole situation. And that's what she's doing. So it's like one of those things where they can ask the questions, and how can I keep, you know, stop doing that? But something within herself, because sometimes when we have those kind of situations, the first thing we're asking ourselves is how we got into it. And then we find out that person is not the person we knew. So we're trying to figure out how they got over on us. See, we're focusing too much on the stuff that already happened. But our subconscious mind is still trying to find that answer to help that person let go of it. And so you can see sometimes our job can be a little difficult. But at the same time, I feel like a little detective. And I feel like once we find that missing piece, then everything else is going to fall into place, and the person will be really content. And it's almost like a sigh of relief, and you'll see it go. So it's one of the things, you know, hope it helps people out. And it's talking to me.
I'm not talking because I'm not getting any insight at the moment. I don't have any words, so I do apologize. I am listening.
Are you serious? Heather is speechless.
I know, right? Yeah.
But, well, fine. Since you're speechless, let's go to another caller.
Okay.
What do you say? Okay, let's go to area code 561. Welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name? Okay. That was quick. I clicked on it.
Well, you
I
know, sometimes, I think people, hold on. Karaoke night at the townhouse. Anyways.
Are you at the townhouse? You're right out front.
I just passed by. Yes, if you look out your window, you can wave at me.
Well, I'm actually hooked up to everything because my phone is not exactly charged.
Okay. Like
my first chain link to the freaking table. Anyway.
Well,
you can go to the caller.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say about the just now caller was perhaps they were on mute. That's what I do. I put it on mute just in case I'm doing something.
But you didn't push one, right? When you call in, you don't push one or anything, do you? When you call in, you don't push one. Because if you push one, it prompts me to tell me that you want to come on the show. And she had a question mark next to her number, which means she had to push one because you don't have one next to yours.
Okay.
That's why I brought her on. But maybe she was on mute, but she sent me, I said, hey, welcome to the show. Dang. She was gone like in a minute.
Oh.
Because she's been sitting there for like 28 minutes. So I just figured if you're going to stick around that long with a question mark, which means you push one.
Here we are, little chatterboxes.
Okay, let's go to area code 212. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good question.
Fabulous.
How are you doing?
We're both silent.
I'm actually a talking telephone number.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You're a talking telephone number.
Mhm. How are you guys?
Fabulous. Tired, but fabulous.
Well, I have a situation I would like to talk about.
Okay.
Okay.
My brother, who lives overseas, told me that my other brother raped his girlfriend. My brother's girlfriend, it was 3 a.m., started talking and was very curious about who my older brother was, and she also went behind my brother's back and communicated with me on Facebook, asked, you know, being nice and friendly, but I was really nice, so I didn't do much, like, I didn't ignore it. I was just, like, hi. And now she was also trying to reach my older brother, and she finally did, and he wasn't even very respectful to her from what I've heard, but she invited him over, they got drunk, she was already drunk, and then they had one glass and she passed out. The next minute, he's on top of her, and I'm in complete shock, and turns out that she was raped before, so it's a pattern, maybe, but it's just completely, I'm in complete shock, and I'm just so disturbed, you know, by that this has really happened in my family, so I'm not really happy. And, I'm just in total shock. And I was eating a little bit because I'm in shock. I've never dealt with anything like this before, so it's, like, very confusing for me.
So what was your first thought on the whole thing when you find out this kind of information? Especially about your brother.
Yeah, that's my brother, you know, that's my brother that did that, and that is not okay, and it's horrible. That's my first thought. How horrible is this, you know?
So, and with the situation at hand, I mean, did you ever think about, could you actually conceive that he could actually do something like that?
Yeah. He could actually do something like that. It's pretty intense. Totally screwing my own mother over.
It kind of gives you an insight to what can happen when people get drunk.
Yeah. And my brother, my younger brother, his girlfriend, is totally in denial. Like, you can get drunk sometimes, it's okay, but it doesn't look like it sometimes. It's like, happens.
Okay, so is there anything that you can directly do about it?
No.
Then I wouldn't worry about it, honey, because it will eat you alive, and that doesn't serve your purpose. So I would just let it go.
Okay.
That's the only thing I can say, and I hate to, but if there's nothing you can do about it, if there's nothing you can say, then I would just walk away. I would just wash my hands of the whole situation.
Yeah, because I've done the same thing with my daughter. She actually called me about 2 weeks before she got married the first time and asked me about advice about who she, the guys and that kind of stuff, and who she should marry, and gave me the insights, the whole thing. And then she ended up marrying the guy I told her not to marry. But and I just knew that was going to be a disastrous thing, and the whole thing pretty much played out the same way I said it was going to. But when you start to look at the situation, it's just one of those things where a person has to live the consequences of their actions. And the only way they can actually learn is to go through that experience. Something within them told them they had to go there. I mean, it's probably, we can sit and look at the idea of your brother and the situation he was in, that, and the idea of drinking alcohol, his resistance was down. We're also looking at a situation here, too, of two people and how they interacted with the whole thing. So, realistically, you can't say by what you've been told or what the truth is.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I know is that she filed a claim, or that my brother and her filed a claim at the police and against my brother, and I just heard the stuff on Jerry Springer. Now it's a little too close, you know. But I feel like my brother, I'm supporting him, you know, he's my brother. I can't just, it's all just drama, you know. Drama that I don't want to get sucked into.
Right.
Hmm.
I would just, I would be there as support for him. Otherwise, I would try to stay out of it as best you can.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense for me. I mean, I don't want to lose myself right now, you know? I'm doing really well, and everything is going well, so I don't want to, like, get off course myself and give myself too much to this situation.
Right.
It bothered me so much. But do you see my brother going into jail or something?
Actually, to tell you the truth, I don't. I think there's more to the situation than meets the eye, and I think it's one of those situations, the woman who's been raped. I think there's something, it's almost like two people don't want to admit what really happened, when it could have actually been consensual. She's trying to play it off, because she doesn't want the other brother to find out that it was more consensual than she'd like to admit.
Well, my younger brother told me that, for example, that she was kind of interested in him, like his lifestyle, and really wanted to meet him. And then at a low point at 3 a.m. in the morning, invites him to her house, half drunk, you know.
It must be a Mike Tyson experience.
Yeah. Out of control.
I hate to say that, but because that was the same thing with Mike Tyson. Some great, you know, girl comes to his house
huh?
or his flat, and she came in pajamas.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was very relaxing kind of stuff. Well, you have to look at the situation. People are going, well, you know, she's young and she doesn't know.
Yeah.
Okay, fine, but still, come on. It's the idea, she's in college and stuff, so it's one of those things where you got to look at both sides of the story. But since Mike Tyson really didn't have a good reputation in the first place, I think that was a lot of things that were just going on and that kind of stuff. So therefore, amazing how some kind of those kind of facts have a tendency to basically justify what happened and the outcome. And then we have O.J. Simpson, where actually the opposite is true. You know, it's one of those things where you look at everything that seems so, like, right there, and then a jury comes back and says, he's not guilty. So everybody's like, another case we're baffled by, that a person who should have been convicted but wasn't. Kind of makes you wonder, because I was just watching this thing not too long ago on the idea that there was a commission that actually came up and said the forensics needs to reevaluate itself because it's forensic science. They've been proving now that forensic science, like with the, you've probably heard incidences about where they take bite marks off a girl, off a person, usually a woman, and they sit there and make molds and they can actually match it to somebody. Well, right now they're starting to find out a lot of that is more of interpretation.
Yeah.
So it's human error. So what they said, well, they came out with this big old book and say, okay, forensic science, what you need to do now is you need to bring science back into forensics instead of analysis and the process of, they had an incident where a lady had been murdered and she had bite marks all over her. And it was kind of funny how the guy who actually did the analyzing the whole thing missed one thing. This guy had two teeth, one tooth on either side missing. On the bite marks, the person only had one tooth missing. But he justified it by saying, if you bite and twist, then it would just, and then the marking would be really messed up, where you would have a continuous on one side but not the other side. And not till this guy spent 14 years, I think 14 to 15 years in jail, claiming he was innocent. And see, what happened was he'd been in jail before because of a certain situation. And those, it seemed like that was more working against him than where he came from instead of actually what was going on, which forensic science is supposed to be what they see in front of them now, not how what happened before in his life, the idea of justifying the whole thing. Then somebody else came back in and analyzed the same thing he did and came up with a totally different story and actually took it a different way, where he says, you really can't do that. You got to sit there and look at the situation for what it is. You can't sit there and say, well, since there's a continuous on one side, and then basically justify what it means so you can actually win the case. So this guy also, the guy who was trying to win this case, had actually hired his own forensics guy to do this. And what's so funny about it was when he was in court and he was cross-examined, this guy he actually had hired agreed with the prosecution. So that kind of sucked. But it did come back, and it did work itself out, where they started looking at situations differently and the idea of bringing science back into forensics. Anyway, that was kind of like a little sideshow. We went a bunch of different directions.
You just went on a whole tour.
Well, I'm just saying, my thing is things don't always seem the way they look. You have to look past what people are presenting to you to see the truth. And that's what I'm saying with this situation.
Well,
so that's so
trying to
so
do that. He doesn't have much other family members that he didn't tell my parents or anything, so.
Mhm.
They're just anyway, do you have any messages for me that are like just a little more normal?
What? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, do you have any messages for me?
Hmm. Let's go to Heather.
I honestly, honey, what comes up for me the most is just to get away from the situation. Get yourself out of that mess. Because it's not doing anything but being a great big lump of rock attached to your ankle. Okay, you have a lot of good things that you need to be doing right now. And that is not helping you.
Yeah. No.
So,
yeah,
that's all I can. I know I said that before, but it is so adamant. That's all I'm getting, is get away from the whole thing.
I have to tell myself, if I'm going to even, I have to stay detached. I'm just not a good detached person, but I have to stay detached. I'm trying to clean up my life, not make it a mess, you know, like, I mean, even the fact that she would, my brother told her, do not, you know, I don't like my brother, don't go and search for him, and she did behind his back. Why would she do that? Why would you want to be with someone that does things like that anyway, you know? It's not the right person, you know, talk about my brother's secrets to my other brother. Like, that's not normal, is it? Would is that a good girlfriend to have? Someone that does things that...
No, but honey,
Where are they located at? Actually, I was going to think about the situation you're asking me. Is this normal? I was going to say, if you live in Ohio, yes. Because I just went through this situation.
It's 11-11.
My ex-wife is actually married to my brother, so yeah. But in the normal sense, it's not supposed to be normal in the process of the situation. That's why I think I agree with Heather on the idea of separating yourself from the situation, not really putting a lot into it. Because when you separate yourself from these situations, you can see the truth for what it is, get a peace of mind, and go, okay, that's just a crazy situation I want nothing to do with, and they'll work it out.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Why would you want to be with a person like that? But see, the point is, he's an adult. He's made a decision to be with this person. Until he sees her for what? Let's put it this way. Until he sees her the way we see her, he's always going to defend her. And that's just going
to
be like a...
He doesn't seem to really understand what the hell is going on. He said he split up with her. He's not with her anymore. That's why he split up with her. But, you know, he just horribly just got... I feel bad for her, too, because it's my brother she got raped by. That's what she says. That's what she claims. But she was drunk. Like, easy target for rape anywhere, you know. She just didn't listen to the signs, and she just went for it. And, yeah, I'm just not responsible for her making it good. I'm just saying, like, I don't want to drink anything. I don't want to be that kind of a person. And I'm very unhappy that my brother destroyed my other brother's relationship, or was part of the destruction, at least. You know, part of his happiness just got destroyed, and it's not my karma, but, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to do my best to stay away emotionally, stay detached, because it's not good for my soul. It's too dark.
It is, honey, exactly, and it will eat you up.
Yeah, it'll eat me up, because I can't do much here, and, you know, if my parents find out, they're going to be destroyed. It's just too crazy in my... That just doesn't happen in my family, this type of thing, you know. It's just certainly, anyway, I just am totally devastated. Anyway.
Well,
Just put positive thoughts around them, honey.
What?
Just put positive thoughts around them and detach yourself. Okay.
Do you think that I'm part of this, like, crazy? Like, I'm even afraid to talk about.
I think that you love your family, and because of the situation, you almost like a protective nature, and you can't. You're gonna have to. It's like a mother putting her arms around her children, trying to protect her children. You're gonna have to take your arms away. Okay, back up, just you can love them, and you can tell them you love them, you can be there for support, but do not get involved, do not let your emotions get involved, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But how do you do that? Like, how do you give support without getting involved?
You have to detach your emotions. I know it's kind of hard, but... that's something I'm constantly battling because, you know, where we live here in Manitou, Colorado, there's a ton of kids that hang out down at the little park, and most of them are homeless, and they struggle. They struggle with drugs. They struggle with, you know, finding food or shelter. They want to be warm. They have no shoes. They, you know, all kinds of issues. And
yeah.
I love them so dearly. But I can go down there and hug them and love them and, you know, smile and be my happy triple self and just be that ray of sunshine. And when they talk about their issues, I can love them. I can coach them. I can cheer them on, but I cannot think about their issues all the time.
You can't think about it.
Thank
you. I can't think about his issue, but I can support him in the moment. But then after, I have to let it go. I hear what you just said. I think that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
That go afterwards, not make it my problem and go in my head with it. And become very upset over it.
Exactly.
And stressed out over it, you know. It's not my problem. It's not my karma. This is not what I'm working on right now.
Do you garden at all?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you go out in the garden, you have your shoes and they get muddy and they get dirty, or your gloves even, they get muddy and dirty, and you take those off before you go in the house.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. You can go out and play in the mud, but you don't take that with you. Okay, you leave it behind.
Yeah.
So it's just like a glove or a pair of shoes. Just take it off.
Okay.
Yes.
I
was going to say we're going to have to be moving on to the other callers, but and plus I got another show to do with somebody else after this one's over, so. I am on a schedule, so I got.
Superstar.
God, you're busy tonight, huh?
Yeah.
I guess.
Fired up.
Yeah. I'm invited to do another radio show and that kind of stuff. But yeah, my thing is what you were saying before about how can you deal with the situation. My thing is when I want to separate from somebody, but I want to send something positive to them, I just invoke angels to go and help them, and then let it go and let the angels take care of the situation and just. Focus on what's going on in my own life. Okay?
Yes. I will go on with my love life and everything that's good for me. Woohoo!
Exactly.
Woo-hoo!
There you go. Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Okay. You have a beautiful night.
Yes, I'm going to enjoy myself. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a good night, too. Have a great weekend, too, huh?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm
going to
enjoy myself.
And I guess we'll say bye, and we'll talk to you when you call back again.
Yeah, definitely.
All righty. Have a good night now.
Oh, you too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, shoot, we didn't cut it off too soon.
All right. So 11:20 is the time that we're at. What
do you
want to
do a situation like a radio show? We'll sit here and go, it's 11:19 p.m. here in Manitou Springs, Colorado, and that's mountain time. And it's 7:20, it's actually June 25th, 2013, and we're hacking and kicking. Okay, if that makes sense or not. But come on, Heather, just let go. You have a radio personality, Mrs. Bubbly. Anyway, I think so anyway. So,
well, thank you. I enjoy it.
Yeah, other callers. I was just trying to debate which one I should go to next.
Okay, anyway, well, listen, let me ask really quick before you get so hasty to do something. What is the time frame that we're looking at so I can keep us on track?
Oh, okay. I just got to, as soon as this one's over with, she's got it set for a time, her time, because I'm trying to figure that out myself, that it's for, I think, I'm trying to get this thing to pop up, 1:30, yeah, what's that, p.m.? It's 1:30 a.m. her time. I was trying to keep that out of my stuff. It was like.
So that would be.
And variations, it's 2 hours, there's a 2 hours difference between there and here. They're 2 hours ahead.
Well, that's in like 10 minutes then.
Well, we got 9 minutes and 9 minutes left in the show, so I think if we keep going here, we'll do it. We'll make it.
I'm pretty sure. All right. Chop chop.
Okay,
let's
do it. Yeah, okay. It's chop chop. All right, let's chop chop. Let's go to area 919, which I'm not mistaken. 919 is actually a North Carolina number, I think. And so welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name?
Hi, my name is Teresa. I'm indeed in North Carolina in Raleigh. Since we only have a couple of minutes, I was just anything that you feel connected to talk about, or any kind of guidance that you're getting. I don't know if you can connect us with boys or if you need a question.
I think you're in a good place.
It's one of those situations looking at somebody going, when you came in here and you called and you're actually in the queue, you did it for a reason. So therefore, things were already basically coming together before you even, before I saw you in the chat, because I knew it was like one of those things. North Carolina is one of those things where I know for a fact because I used to have a girlfriend who used to live in Raleigh. She actually came out and visited for a while. So I know that I know pretty well. That kind of threw me off. I was looking at the area code 919. I'm like, okay. So I was kind of like wondering about that whole thing. Well, it's one of those things where I've had people call me up and say, hey, I feel like you're going to reconnect with your ex-girlfriend. No. And I sit there looking at the queue going, oh, no. Anyway.
Oh, that's funny.
I would sit there and look at the situation like this, too. With that kind of connection, the first thing I pick up would be the idea of focusing on relationships.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I can
relate to that. I'm
looking
at the situation of the person, yes, and then the idea of relationships and the idea of maybe a little variations here that you're not really getting what you want. And there's a lot
pretty
of focusing
much.
On that. How to, yeah, I'm focusing on how I can get what I want instead of dealing with the crazies that I keep getting.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes. Yes.
Well, but that's, honey, okay, so honestly, the first thing I got was that you're in a very good space. And I do mean personally, not tangibly, physically, whatever. I mean your spirit, your heart. You're very happy and cheerful. And that's always a good place to be because you bring other people that are of like energy into your space, which will only help you. And so keep going with that. And that will help in any relationship as well.
Oh, fantastic. That's great.
I personally tell people all the time the ideal that usually if you have a communication problem, it usually starts with the person first before it actually becomes a part of the problem in the relationship. So when you start looking at the situation of being in a good place in your own life, it's the ideal of having that kind of positive energy where you can actually connect with your own angels and guides. I was sitting there talking the other day with someone sitting there talking about having relatives attached to you. Well, it's good to have a spirit of a person who's passed on, which mm-hmm. it's kind of a contradiction to say they passed on because they haven't passed on. They're still with you in the true sense of spirit. But sometimes you have to understand that your people, relatives, grandfathers, grandmother, that kind of stuff, they were human at one time. So they still might have that human influence where they're going to sit there and come off like a grandmother, what they think is best for you. So it's the best thing to
right.
do in the idea of connecting with your own abilities is to connect with your spirits and your guides, which are basically for who you, I guess you'd say their motivation is strictly you. Not like you're, like you say you have a grandmother who was very controlling in this lifetime and then she passes on, she might still have that residual of saying, you're going to do what I think is best for you, not what is best for you. What the difference is angels and guides see everything. So they actually see what is best for you. Not from their point of view, it's just the ideal seeing the future for what it is. Okay? So your grandmother
right.
shouldn't go, okay, I think she's going to be with this guy, but I don't think so. And then she will put that
mm-hmm.
influence on you. Okay, I've seen a lot of people do this where their even their attitude or their demeanor changes because those people are having such a strong influence over them, where it's actually changing their mannerisms and stuff like that. So I'm just saying, that's why I always say to tell people it's so important to do cleansing sometimes and get your own little sage and or just have the ideal of always invoking Archangel Michael, Archangel Raphael. Archangel Michael is a protector, but he also helps you to also cut loose cords that attach you to things. And me personally, when I sit there and focus on the situation of some of the things that are still attached to you, you can still see some relationships that have like an anchor effect on you, where it's like, what I mean by that is I see an anchor that's attached to you, that's actually attached to the past, and it has such a bond with you, it comes off like an anchor and chain. Okay,
right.
So it's like if you're sitting here listening going, okay, why am I having such a hard time moving forward? Imagine having an anchor chained to your back, and this is your baggage. Now you see why it's so important that anything, and what I mean by anything, in the process of you are a person, are you, let's put it this way, what are you looking for?
Well, mostly just finding my center again, and then materialistically I'm looking for a job, and then it would be nice to have a relationship once I've got all that down.
Okay, well, let's put it out there real clearly to help people out there understand one thing. What does it mean to have balance within your life? That's the ideal. You never put anything on the side. You do it all at once, and you let it all fall in place, and the idea of balance. Okay, because if you're going to put yourself in a place where you're going to be feeling really good and very positive, and you know exactly what you're doing, guess what's going to happen? You're going to attract somebody.
Yeah.
Okay, so we consider I'm not ready for a relationship right now. But see, in the process of putting yourself in a good manner and the ideal, you're going to be doing a lot of good things for yourself, or you're going to say one word, I'd love to have somebody to share this with, and don't be surprised what shows up. And the ideal also,
okay.
The first thing that came to me with the angels and the guys are sitting there going, tell her to stop looking for things and allow things to come to her by clarifying her intentions of what does she want.
Okay.
Okay, so it was one of those things that people don't understand. The law of attraction says what you desire and what is good for you and the combination you will attract exactly what is good for you. What you desire, the good of, I'm not put that right, I had to write the first time, the idea of all the good things you desire will come to you. That's the law of attraction. Not the law of pursuing. There is no such thing as the law of pursuing because it doesn't work for you. It works against you. The law of attraction works for you. And people sit there and say that, well, I've seen the secret. Well, good for you. I've seen the credits, too. Well, what's that mean? It doesn't mean anything because the movie is, I think this one person said, I've been watching the movie, but nothing's happening. I'm like, well, the movie is not going to materialize this stuff for you. It's actually giving you the tools to have faith in yourself with the intentions you set that you will get what you want, because it will come to you. Because I've heard people say this, the movie sucks, it didn't work. What didn't work? The movie's not going to do anything. Except when you put it in a freaking CD player, it's going to sit there and go, you know, it's going to zip around. That's all it's going to do. And that's the thing, I'm just saying, that's what I was trying to say before about the focus boards. These focus boards are not going to accomplish anything unless you use it to work together in the idea of focusing your intentions and saying, when you look at your focus board, you're going to say, that's what I want. And that's how I want it to be. That's the picture, the whole thing. You take that focus board, you take that vision, you put it in your mind, and you go, okay, if it happened right now, how would I feel by what I see. You put the two together, guess what happens? You're living it.
Okay.
So therefore, the first thing, the reason I'm telling you all this, and I hope you understood it, was because you have a relationship coming into your life. And relationships are one of those things that don't come in unless you're ready, which you are. Okay? So therefore, you've made some really changes in your mind where your intentions have been set. You know what you want. You know what you need, what you desire. You've basically taken the world and said, you're not helping me, man. So you get rid of the worldly wants, needs, and desires, and you start thinking about what do I really want, need, desire? What I, not what the world says. So the world said, you need a real job. Yeah, okay, whatever. the world always says things logically in the sense of what mass consciousness is telling us is important. And there's a lot of people out there. I was sitting here talking about this one lady who was sitting here saying, you know something? I don't want to be with a guy unless he makes $50,000 a year. Guess what happens in that scenario, okay? I will tell you.
She ends up with exactly that.
That's
yeah.
True, but listen to this. Listen to the description. What she's focusing on is a guy who makes $50,000 a year. Guess what she's doing to herself? She's making herself number two.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to attract a guy who's always going to treat her like number two, not number one. So you see how the idea of focusing on materialistic things and the idea of she has an insecurity about finances. She should face her own insecurity instead of attracting a guy who's going to do it for her, because guess what? He's not going to. She'll probably even attract somebody who's a workaholic because that's where he feels secure. And that's what
mm-hmm.
she's saying. If a guy makes $50,000, he's very secure, and he knows what he wants. No, he doesn't. He works all the time because that's where he feels secure and controlling. So what is he going to do when he comes home? He's going to treat her like number two, and he's going to control her. Because that's what she did. She put this guy in a position. Instead of dealing with her insecurity, she put another person in charge of that insecurity who's not going to face it. He's not going to do anything except for basically manifest exactly what she wanted with somebody to take control of her life instead of her taking
mm-hmm.
control of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, completely. It's exciting that you said that you saw a relationship. It's not expected. So, but it's good to
it's
know
okay.
that's going to happen. So, that's exciting. That's wonderful.
Okay, and what you need to do is you need to, I'm just saying, but I would just feel like you should really sit down with me sometime and do a private reading and get some insights to the situation, what's going to be happening.
Yeah,
that sounds
great. Do you have a website, or are you on Facebook?
Yes and yes.
On Facebook, it's actually Donald Reed, Psychic Ex-Journeyman. And yes, you'll probably find a lot of Donald Reed, but you won't find one that's associated with Psychic Ex-Journeyman. And I also have a website. It's www.psychicx, and there's a capital X, psychicxjourneyman.com. Or you can actually call me if you like. It's 740-500-8863. And you can call me anytime. Just sit and call me, talk to me. I'm usually in the shop or at home, but I'm always working or doing something. Or it might be hiking, but I have a cell phone. And I actually have this nice power pack I got with it. It's called a little solar panel. Well, I can actually go. So, I like to go hiking, and I like to do all kinds of stuff. So I got this pack, this solar panel, which I can just, it's always charged for like 6 or 8 hours. Just plug it in, I can go anywhere I want. So therefore, you can reach me anywhere you want, too, as well. Because, you know, sometimes people don't always want a reading when it's convenient for me. But that doesn't mean I cannot make it convenient for you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't hear the first part of the radio show, I was sitting there telling people that our July special is you basically look at the website, you see what you want, and then you tell me what you're going to pay for it. It's actually make your own price month.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so there's no reason why you can't get a reading. Just somebody like
wonderful.
Some of those guys to call me and say, I got a quarter. Can you do a reading for a quarter? No, I cannot. But you never know. It's the month of July. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
Okay.
This is really good news. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. And also put in your mind, too, since you've been on the show and you know that we've had this July special, say that you might be a week later in the month of August, I'll still give you the special so you can still make your price, okay?
Oh, that's great. What exactly is your July special?
You make your price. You just sit there and tell me what you want to pay for a reading.
Okay?
Okay.
That's wonderful. I might just be taking you up on that very soon.
Okay. No problem, then.
Thank you, Donald.
Let's see. Yes, you're welcome, and you have a great night. And I keep forgetting it's Thursday, so we can actually say, well, it's actually going on Friday, so... And you
Friday.
Are. It's kind of funny. We're on Thursday, but she's on Friday. But
yeah, it is. It's Friday here. So happy Friday.
Yes.
Happy weekend.
Yeah, happy weekend. Yeah. So thank you for calling in. It's really nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you. Thanks for having me.
Have a good night.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. Good night.
You too. Bye. Bye-bye.
All right, well, Donnie, you are past time to jump on to your other shows. So.
I was in there talking to somebody who's actually doing it. She was actually, oh, no, I was going to say, she was, she's been drinking. So I was like,
oh.
she's asking me right now if she should do a show. And I'm like, no, go do one. It'll be nice and relaxed and tell people off. And won't remember nothing until tomorrow, so why not?
No, I can't. Mona will ask me if I want to go have a beer or something. No. I'm doing the show.
You're restraining yourself on that one? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just gonna sit there and do this last. We got one caller and that's it. So I was just. And right now, the way things are, since we're not alive, we can still answer the call. Nobody else can call in. So. This will be our last
caller.
But
we're not live?
Hello?
Live?
We're still recording, so.
Okay.
Hello, Donnie.
Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, this is James. How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good.
I called on the show a while ago. This is Jimmy. I was just wondering about love. I actually met somebody, but I'm not sure if she's the one.
Uh-huh.
I met her a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
What's your name?
Awesome.
Her name's Jennifer.
And what's the one thing that would make you think that she might not be the one?
Well, I don't know. I mean, she could be. It's a friendship that's developing between me and her.
That's always the best way to start.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be friends.
Because I think the last time I talked to you was a couple months ago, you said that I would be meeting somebody in July.
Yeah, I did.
Well, yeah, I met her in July. I actually been meeting a lot of, everything was slow, and all of a sudden I started meeting all these new females, all these new girls.
Yay!
That's good.
So it's
like the idea of just opening up your heart. Not everybody resonates with you and resonates, so therefore you should actually be able to know who it is and who it isn't. Because I get the impression, to me, Jennifer seemed like she could be a really good friend.
Oh,
almost like
yeah,
a person that could... Yeah, because it's like she could be a person that... She just seems like she has a personality that this would be like a person, like have a best friend, that you would call after a bad date. Someone to talk to, you know, the kind of situations like that. The situation is still unfolding, so it could actually change very quickly, too, as well. Because realistically, most of us actually end up with our best friends.
You know, and the thing is, just because they're that kind of a friend to begin with doesn't mean that they're not going to end up being your life partner.
Oh, yeah, I know.
That's always the best way to go anyways, because then you develop this really good bond with them.
I did a meditation for, I guess, a twin flame meditation, and I keep on seeing I keep on seeing a girl. I'm not sure, but I keep on seeing long hair, dark eyes and the meditation she was waving at me. Okay. Dark eyes, dark hair, and long hair.
Let me ask you a question. I don't think Jennifer has dark eyes, does she?
No. She's blonde.
I didn't think so.
I guess it is one of your angels, honey. I don't know if that's just me, though.
You think it's one of my angels?
Yeah, but see, you know, it could also be a person that's represented to you as well. I understand what you're saying, because I've actually had someone tell me that one of my angels is redhead, which actually would understand, actually would make a lot of things clear. And I sure see a lot of redheads. But the one person I was going to say right now that I'm interested in, there seems like there's a really good connection. She's not a redhead. But she does have light hair. But it was like looking at the situation going, it was interesting. But sometimes when you get those visions, there's nothing wrong with the idea of asking for clarification from your angels.
Oh, yeah, I know. I do that all the time. I'm sorry for cutting you off. I meditate every day.
Okay, no problem.
Excellent.
You should meditate more so you'll quit cutting me off. I'm just kidding. But I'm just kidding with you, James. But seriously, I don't think you can meditate enough and too much. So it's like one of those situations when I have actually done this on a street corner where I just have some kind of thing that just confuses me. I'll stop right in there and just close my eyes for 5 minutes and just kind of ask for clarity. So if you can do it anywhere you want. Just make sure no one pushes you off the street corner. Yeah, but I just want you to focus on, I'm not trying to be selfish, and I'm just saying you need to focus on you. The more you focus on you, the more you can understand these connections. I'm not saying Jennifer's the one or not the one, but I do feel like she is somebody significant in your life right now that I feel like it's going to be very important to you with years to come.
Oh, no, I get you. Excuse me?
I was going to ask you to repeat what you just said.
Do you see me, like, moving from the place where I'm at?
Moving?
Yeah, moving somewhere else.
Actually, I get yes, I do.
Do you see that more in, like, September, October?
Actually, I get the impression it could be an opportunity coming up in August.
Oh, okay, good. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's funny because my sister's coming here next week with her family, and
uh-huh.
I'm gonna go. My sister is coming here from North Carolina. She's gonna stay with me, and me and my dad are gonna go back with them. Take the drive back with them to North Carolina for like a
mm-hmm.
week more or 2 weeks more, and then I'm gonna fly back to New Jersey.
Awesome.
That's going to be awesome. Yeah.
Wow. You're in North Carolina. Yeah. Sound like a heck of a trip.
Well, I'm in New Jersey. I'm in New Jersey. We all grew up in New Jersey, but I'm still living in New Jersey. And she moved to North Carolina when I moved here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've seen like a lot of people. I've seen a lot of people from New York move to Florida. It's usually North Carolina or Florida, but usually New Jersey and New York. But you never see anybody, I never actually talked to somebody who actually moved from Maine. I'm just kind of curious about the New York flying, you know, kept going down to the south.
When I went to visit North Carolina back in 2011, I noticed that it's very laid back, you know, people are so friendly. People are so friendly. Like, if you go into the store, like, you just notice, like, people, because people are laid back, and people are like, hi, how are you? How are you doing? If they see you're a newcomer, very friendly.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. But then when you get down to Florida, Florida's almost like a... It's almost like everybody who had problems ran to Florida. Because I was sitting there noticing, well, I would notice when I was down there, it was always somebody was... They were being nice, but it seemed like they always had an alternative motive. It kind of freaked me out. I don't know if it's the energy with Florida, but Florida people have a tendency to be... I mean, I was like, one particular lady was... She loved you to death. She thought you were the greatest thing in the world as long as you were... When she asked you for something, as long as you gave it, rent, whatever. But as soon as you wouldn't, as soon as you didn't, she always assumed you were doing it on purpose. You're not paying the rent because you don't want to pay me any money, or you want to do this, or you this and that and the other. I was like, no. If I had it, I would give it to you. If you keep talking like this, I don't think I want to do that either. I'll just take it and go somewhere else. But it was interesting. It was just constant things. And it was kind of funny with that family. Well, I always wondered what was really going on because I knew for a fact that the son had a crack problem, and he was always finding girlfriends who also had crack problems, but it seemed like they were always hanging together. I think it's one of them kind of wonder about the Daytona Beach these days and exactly what is really going on down there, you know, because of what I've seen personally. And at the time, I had really long hair. And every time I turned around, someone was always walking to me going, hey, man, you want a party? You got something? And I'm like, just because I got freaking long hair doesn't mean I want anything. That's the assumptions. And that was kind of the mode for that down there, too. People just assumed all kinds of stuff to the point where I just want to say, maybe you guys should assume that I'm actually leaving because realistically, I am. And I remember walking out of the freaking house because what the lady did was, which is something that was very illegal, she actually went into my space that I was renting from her and took all my stuff. Until I, you know, and people go, really, is it illegal? Because she said, she goes, well, you owe me money. Yes, but I also rent a space from you, so therefore there's this thing called due process. It has to be done. And some people try to get away with that kind of stuff, saying, well, I'm justifiable in doing what I'm doing. And it just makes you really think about what their mentality is, about what they really, it's all about money. This can show you what money can actually do to people in the process of doing it the wrong way, but also listening to your guidance to get yourself out of the situation, which is kind of crazy because I just grabbed my bags and just started walking to the highway, which was like 2 miles. I think it was one of the hardest 2 miles I've ever walked in my life. And I sit there and tell people all the time the idea of looking for signs, right? So I was sitting there, I'm going through the highway to hitchhike. And I said, okay, if this is the right decision for me to do, the first person who will pick me up is somebody I used to just work for at this place, this warehouse I used to work at. I said, the first person that will pick me up is somebody I've worked with. And I swear to you, when I sit there, the first car that picked me up on my venture back from Florida back to Ohio was somebody I worked with in the warehouse. I had just gotten laid off a month before.
Okay, that's cool.
And I was
cool.
Just like, look, yeah, so I'm sort of going, okay, we're going in the right direction. And I'm not going to sit here and say hitchhiking is always great, but it would do. It was just so many positive things happen. I had this one Spanish couple pick me up and said they were only going like, I think they were going like 50 miles up the road. I was trying to make it to Lexington, Kentucky. And they said, we're not going. And I said, but I want to go to Cincinnati. I need to get to Cincinnati, Ohio. And they go, well, we're not going that far. We're just going to Lexington. And I said, okay, well, you know, well, how far you can get me go? It'd be great. So we're sitting in this van, and they keep driving, and they keep driving, and keep driving. Next thing I know, we're in Cincinnati. And this guy drops me off at an off-ramp in Cincinnati. I'm sitting there going, because at first I was getting kind of scared because they were still driving and driving and driving and driving. But what I did was I sit there and do like I always do. I listened to my freaking psychic abilities, and nothing was kicking in. My fears were there, but when I listened to my actual abilities, nothing was telling me that there's any kind of danger. So I listened to that. The next thing I know, I was in Cincinnati sitting on an on-ramp. The only thing I didn't like about the whole thing was as soon as they set me off on the on-ramp, It wasn't an on-ramp, it was an off-ramp, to the point where I really wasn't going to get any rides because of the variations of this whole... Cincinnati's kind of crazy with their highways. Cars don't... There'll be an off-ramp, but their cars are going in the opposite direction. So it was, they were going into town, and I didn't want to go into town. I wanted to keep going down the highway. And I needed to get to a route called Route 22. And how I got to Route 22 was something I'd recommend for everybody. But what happened was I said, you know, I was talking to the angels and said, okay, we need to get to 22. And I got, and a cop pulls up and gives me a ticket for hitchhiking. And I was like, okay, this is not funny. So what happened was when you let these things play themselves out and you just go with it, you'll see miracles happen all the time. So the cop told me, he said, I'm going to drive you down to the next ramp where you can get a ride. Well, when he gets down there, it wasn't what he thought it was. And he kept on driving. He said, no, that's not a good one. I'm going to get you to a really good ramp so you can actually get a good ride out of here. Next thing I know, he drops me off on 22, Route 22. And the next thing I know, there's all these variations. When sometimes we look at things on the surface, we don't realize it could actually be a whole lot more for us, and that was one of them. I got a ticket, but I actually got to go right where I needed to go because I had all this planned out on a certain route I needed to get to where I was going. And then we had another one where I got on that situation, and the exact words I said was, I deserve to get picked up by somebody now who can drop me off at my mom's house. And that's the way it should work, because you say I can manifest anything I want, angels. So therefore, that's what I'm asking for. And some guy came by earlier and gave me an umbrella. Said he was only going to go up a mile up the road, and I really couldn't help him. He really couldn't help me out. Well, he came back later on and asked me something about how you doing. I said, I'm doing good. And he said, well, whereabouts are you going anyway? I said, well, you said you were going to go a mile up the road. I said, why don't you just give me a ride up a mile up the road? We can talk. He said, okay, no problem. He was like, this guy was like 72 years old. So he sits there and says, okay. So he gets in the truck, and we're actually driving down that way. And he gets to where he's going to turn off. He goes, where exactly are you going? I said, I'm going to Circleville, Ohio. And he goes, well, how far do you think that is from here? I said, maybe an hour. He goes, well, hey, I'm not doing nothing for the next, this is my day off, that kind of thing. So let's just take a ride. And he dropped me up on mom's back porch. And I was just like, now, that's what it's about, man. Manifestation to the fullest. And the ideal is saying, I wanted to be dropped off at my mom's house, and this guy dropped me off. I remember introducing him to my mother. My mom thought I was trying to set her up. I was not. I think she needs to. Never mind. I'm not going to go there. But she has those moments where you just want to say, Mom, you need something to relieve the stress. Anyway. So I'm just saying, when you sit and look at the situations, when I started looking at them, when I first saw them, they didn't present themselves that way. But, you know, the funniest thing about the whole thing was, when I was in Florida and the idea of trying to make a decision to even go, all the numbers I saw were all the routes that I needed to take to get home. And I didn't know that until I actually decided to take the journey, because I never realized that 22 is also, on the map, it's also 73. And I never knew that at all. Until I actually got on 22 and saw a stretch of it is actually 73. And all these numbers and stuff I've been seeing for like the last month, where I should have left a whole lot earlier. I didn't listen at that time, but opportunities are still there. It just probably could have been a little bit different if I would have taken advantage of them when I did, but they still seem to turn out and get me where I needed to go. So what your situation is just take the journey with Jennifer and see what happens.
You might be surprised. I know. I guess she like went through a lot growing up, and so she doesn't want friends. She doesn't want nothing right now at all.
Well, I think there, and somewhere in that context, that conversation, you should tell Jennifer, it doesn't matter where she's been or what she's gone through. Now with family and being in childhood and that kind of stuff, it's the idea of realizing when you turn 18, it's your responsibility to take responsibility of that whole situation and say no more. Because she's allowing that to dictate her decisions, where she could actually be in something very good right now.
Oh, no, I know. Believe me, I know.
Yeah, tell her to call me, Mel. I'll set her straight. Anyway. Heather, are you still with us?
I am.
Yeah, but she went through a lot growing up. Her, well, not just her, I guess her family too. I guess abuse and stuff like that. And I only known her for like a couple of weeks, so like 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, so it's still like brand new.
Okay,
we're
no problem.
About each other.
And when she told me she don't want anything right now, I said, well, I could be a good friend.
Yeah, now it's time.
If she needs somebody to talk to her or whatever.
Now it's time to take that, take the next step and just be a friend. I don't know. Sometimes I look at these situations and it's like a catch 22. You gotta watch the friend zone. People like to have a
friend. That'd be cool. Like you saw me moving now. In like August.
Yeah, that's true too. Mhm.
Will it be in this state or will it be someplace else?
That's a good question because right now, really, I just see the move. I'm not exactly sure how it's gonna play itself out. But just let it happen because I feel like it's this whole part of your life right now is just the ideal of letting go and trusting. So do that right now.
Okay. All
right.
All right. Thank you very much.
It was really, nice talking to you again, James. And keep in touch.
I will. Have a great night, Heather.
I will, James. You too, honey. And good job on the meditating every day.
Oh, yeah.
Have a great weekend. Okay. Like maybe he's gone. All right,
well,
let's get the heck out of here. Any final words from Heather?
Any what?
Any final words, Heather?
No. Good night. I'm a little tired.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody. Goodbye. Good night. It was a great show. Thank you for everybody calling in. Thank you to all the listeners. And like we always say at every end of every show, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day and give love what I was given. And we'll see you next Tuesday and have a great weekend. And you guys have a good one. Bye-bye now. Talk to you later, Heather.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.